Hello and welcome to another episode of the World Athletics Podcast. I'm Ben Harlow, and on today's episode is 400 meter world champion Stephen Gardner. He reflects on growing up and life in the Bahamas and moving over to Florida to make it big in athletics, and it's safe to say it paid off pretty well for him. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode. I was going to say, you, the most famous Bahamian athletes at the moment, you and Sean A, you're both so tall and stoic. Uh-huh. Is it common for Bahamian people to be that kind of, well, I don't know, like supermodels?
I don't even know. I would say there's a lot of tall people in the Bahamas, yeah. I don't really know. Yeah.
Okay, well, what was it like growing up in the Bahamas?
Normal, you know. People think, you know, when we go to the United States, they think that we live in huts, but we don't.
No, I'm sure.
Because it's an island, but no, it was kind of normal for us. Like, we went to regular schools, friends, family, you know, outings. It's normal, yeah.
What did you enjoy doing as a kid?
Playing outside.
Yeah.
Going to the beach, running in the street, and stuff like that, yeah.
Nice. And when did you first kind of take to sport?
I started training with a coach in 2013.
This was athletics. Yeah, only athletics. Ever athletics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ever interested in any other sport or
volleyball?
Yeah.
Growing up, my dad, he wanted me to play basketball because I was so tall.
Yeah, makes sense.
He would take me to basketball camp, and I would stay there for like an hour.
Okay, just eye roll.
just to be there, and then I would like go home. I like leave. I didn't like it.
Is that as soon as your dad left, you just...
Yeah, I kind of like just sat around,
yeah,
some time,
dad.
And then, okay, I'm going home.
Yeah. So you said in 2013 you kind of found your feet in athletics. Mm-hmm. What kind of... Did you ever think I could actually be a full-time athlete as my job?
Yeah, I would say in 2014 when I ran pretty good, had a good season. I did the 400. Mm-hmm. The times were going, dropping down lower and lower. So mm-hmm. I kind of saw it. I was like, yeah, I think I can do it now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And when you did start fully training, did you know that you would move over to America and start training over there?
Oh, no. When I graduated from high school in 2014, mm-hmm. That's when I started training professionally, and I moved to the United States.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And what prompted the move? Was it college or...?
I had a deal at the time, mm-hmm. my first contract with Adidas, and so I had, where I trained, it was a small island, so if mm-hmm. I had to travel, I had to go to like 3 flights to get to where I need to go.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just had to move, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were on a smaller island within the Bahamas as well, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And when you moved over to the US, did you find it difficult adjusting at all?
I know, because growing up, it's like Miami Beach is like 25 minutes from Bahamas, but we would go like every summer for vacation, summer vacation or Christmas, we'd spend in the United States
okay.
on vacation, so it's like, it was normal to me.
Oh, nice, yeah. Okay. As an athlete, when you started to get better and better, mm-hmm. when your first major championship experience, was that in Rio?
No, my first one would be World Champs. Beijing, 2015.
Mm-hmm. How was that for you, making your first world championship team?
That was hard. I was very young at the time. Mm-hmm. Just going through the rounds was so hard and mm-hmm. with less experience. But yeah. Now I think I'm growing up now and more experience. It's coming to me normal.
I think clearly. Yeah. Fast forwarding a little bit, you went to London and you did very, very well there. Mm-hmm. Did you expect a medal going in?
In Doha?
Yeah.
Yes. I did pretty well in London. My first individual medal as a senior athlete. Going to Doha, it was just me focusing on what I had to do and just go out there and compete and bring home a medal. And that's something that I really wanted to do, and I ended up doing it.
It seems like a lot of the Bahamian athletes, they're so proud to be from the Bahamas. What was it like for the people back home when you got that medal?
Oh, Bahamian people, they love to celebrate, so they would find any reason to celebrate, you know? And I'm happy for that. But Yeah, just bringing a medal home to everybody at a time when we all needed it because of the storm, and it brought joy to all of the islands, and everybody was so excited, and we celebrated, and we had a good time.
And what's it like with Shaunae being at the top of her game as well, both of you at the same time?
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. We went home together. We did a tour together, and we had a great time. We met some nice people. We spoke to the younger ones, the kids.
Yeah.
And we had a good beach day and every other day.
No, I always see you on Instagram stories hanging out with Shaunae and her sister and Omar.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're some of my best friends. They are my best friends. We live nearby, so we just... Hey, what you doing today? And we just, you know, always like to hang out or go shopping together.
What else you did? You just, is it just messing around?
You'd say mess around, a bunch of jokes, laugh, pool party.
Yeah.
We'd go to like Disney World or some theme park we would go to. We'd find something to do.
Take advantage of being in Florida.
Correct.
So you mentioned earlier about the storm in the Bahamas, particularly this year with Hurricane Dorian and that kind of thing. How difficult did you find it training in Florida, knowing everything that was going on?
Oh, when the storm came, it was a very hard time for me. I didn't get to train for 4 days because my family was couldn't hear a word from them. And I just didn't know what to do. But my coach, he was like the main person, like encouraging me. And he also was like looking, there was like some safe lists on the internet, like everybody who's safe from the storm, like at a shelter or something, they would put their name on the list. So he was helping me look through the list, and he was trying to call their cell phone to reach out to them and stuff like that.
It must have been terrifying having a 4-day blackout.
Yeah, it was a hard time for me. Couldn't train, and but I didn't let it get the best of me. As soon as I heard back from them, I went right back to work.
And how far out was that from the World Championships?
It was in September, yeah.
So really close.
Yeah, really close.
And was Shaunae affected by it as well?
No, I don't think so. No, her family's from another island.
Oh, okay.
So just myself, yeah.
And going into Doha, both of you were very vocal about rebuilding the Bahamas, and Shaunae had donated a lot of money, and there was lots of fundraising going on. Going into Doha, did you feel more inspired, perhaps because of what happened?
I felt more inspired, of course. I received messages on the internet. I tried to stay off of Facebook and Instagram and stuff at the time, but I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
But my friends and my family back home, they were all sending encouraging messages to motivate me to just go there and do my best. And I wanted to give them more than my best. I wanted to give them like everything I had, and that's what I did, and bringing home the gold medal for them.
And when you were on that start line, did that all of that cross your mind going through?
Yes, most definitely. But I didn't let it get the best of me. We took it round by round. Mm-hmm. So in the heats, we just focused on the heats. We didn't just, okay, we want to get to the final. We just did our thing. And that's just something that we planned to do. And that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like after the World Championships? Because obviously you got the gold medal in I think it was the sixth fastest time in history.
Mm-hmm.
What did that mean to you, first of all, crossing that finish line?
It was amazing. I just wanted to go there and give my best and bring home a medal, honestly. Mm-hmm. And to bring home the gold medal, it was just the icing on the cake, you know? And it's something that I want to do again.
And did you expect it to be gold?
Honestly, the year started off rough for me. I didn't know what to expect. I started off with an injury. Everybody else were running fast, and they were doing their thing, and I was just training. I didn't do much races this year, but I didn't let it get the best of me, like I said, and I just wanted to go there and do my thing, but the gold medal just made my year much more better.
Does that play on your mind at all when you're injured? Because I think as an athlete, you are prone to injuries quite a lot. You've kind of dealt with that throughout your career. Do you find it difficult when you see athletes blasting out super fast times in April?
Yeah. You know, injury, being injured, okay, I have to work smart. You know, I'm hurt, so I have to, like, I can't get my full potential. So I have to, like, build into it, and everybody else is doing their thing, and... Yeah, you know, so it's very hard, you know, because you have to focus on yourself, and you don't want to go backwards. You want to go forward, and just taking it slow, and you could be getting the full workout in, you know, to be better.
And what do you say to yourself in those times when you can't really do anything apart from maybe aqua jog?
You know, I just say to myself, just continue working. What's yours is going to come to you, and work smart.
Especially because it was such a long season, do you think that kind of played into your favor?
Most definitely, yes. Because it was a long season and I didn't do as much race as everybody else, I wasn't as much tired. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of rest, but I still work hard in training. And because I didn't go to like most of the meets, I still had like hard training, and where we would like, okay, this is the meet today, we're in training. So yeah.
That's bizarre. Were you timed at all in training?
I was timed, and I was passed out every day on my back, out, flat on the ground.
What were the times?
Out of 300, you know, it's like 31, but it's hand time, but it was still fast, like 31. Mm-hmm. The 250, super fast, the 300, and the 350s, they were all good times. I was producing in practice, the 150s, so I was in really good shape, but I just didn't go to the meets because of travel, you know?
So you were quietly confident then going into Doha?
Yeah.
Because I think it's probably fair to say a lot of the focus was perhaps on Michael Norman, who was blasting out really fast times in the first half of the season.
I was focused on myself, you know? I didn't want to get anything in my head. You know, the mind is a serious thing, you know?
Completely.
Yeah, I wanted my head game to be right, and so it'd be. And the trainer was there, and I trust my trainer, and I trust my coach and everything, so I know we're going to do something out there.
Hey, sorry to be annoying, but I hope you're enjoying the interview so far and stick around for the second half. But I just wanted to plug our social media channels really quickly. You can follow us at World Athletics on all platforms. You can find lots of interesting content there, just fun graphics, highlights from previous championships, live streams from different events, athlete interviews, and just a whole bunch of great content. So, yeah. This has been really annoying, and back to the interview. When you returned from Doha, had you been to the Bahamas after Dorian had hit?
Well, after the storm passed, I didn't get to go because, you know, I was training and Doha is coming up quickly. Mm-hmm. So we went to Greece for a training camp, and after Doha, then I went to the Bahamas after Doha.
Did you go with Shawnee?
Yeah, we went together, yeah.
And what was that like?
It was good, you know, we went to a lot of schools, we visited a lot of schools, the other business places, and a lot of people we saw.
Yeah. I read online that there was a viewing party held because a lot of the island still didn't have a TV or internet network.
It was a viewing party. It was a viewing party, also a fundraiser. So when we were in Doha doing the rounds, mm-hmm. at our national stadium, they would like show it on the big screen. And they would like, you know, people would like pay to come in. Nothing expensive, you know, just to donate the money for the hurricane funding. Mm-hmm. And also get to watch us live on TV.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And what was it like? Did you see any images of that?
Oh, no, I didn't. But I saw like a tweet and a video where a lot of people were like screaming, like, as we crossed the line, they were like screaming, like everybody's like screaming.
And does it feel now you are world champion and for the people of the Bahamas, do you feel like a huge weight has been lifted?
Most definitely, you know, it was a time in need and we delivered when the people needed it most.
And just to go back to it as well with Shawnee, her race was incredible. Uh-huh. What did you think of watching that?
Yeah, I'm so happy of her, you know. She did her thing, a PR. She ranked on there. So, yeah, she did what she wanted to do. She said 48 low, and that's what she did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she ran a good race.
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah. And when are you two going to run a mixed 4x4 again?
You know, once the schedule is right, then we'll be in it, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who would be your ideal Bahamian 4x4 team?
Myself, of course. Shawnee, of course. I would say, and a couple of the young ones, you know, I really want to see the younger ones out there coming up, up and coming, to actually run a leg on the relay with us.
What about Shawnee's sister?
That's a hard one. She's not going to do it.
No way, no chance.
No chance of her doing it.
She's too busy being a supermodel, right?
Yeah, she doesn't want to do it. She always texts me like, oh, I'm working out. It's like, stop lying to me, you're not working out. You know, she recorded video in the gym. not doing anything.
You know? She's just there for the Instagram page.
Only there to pose.
If you would do another event, what would you do?
The 200 meters.
Obviously. I mean, you basically do, but that's such a cop-out.
Okay. I'd say the long jump.
Yeah? I see that for you.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe high jump as well.
I don't like to go upside down. I don't like to jump. I hate jumping, you know?
Really?
Yeah, but I would say long jump. I don't like to go up. I like to go forward.
You go far, you just can't go up.
So I don't like to go up.
Definitely no pole vault.
No pole vault. I am afraid, and those poles might break.
Do you know what? It does kind of scare me as well. I'm not sure whether I'd do it.
Don't like it.
Would you throw?
No.
I'm trying to get you to
my arms are so small.
You're built for running.
Yeah, running and maybe a long jump.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe.
What's the longest you've ever ran?
In competition?
Yeah.
400 meters.
400 meters, not going any further.
No further.
No 800?
One next year.
Next year?
Yeah.
I always see Shawnee. She does like random stuff early season, like shot.
Yeah. She can do that.
Yeah.
I like to stick to one event. But yeah, I told my coach I would do it 800, you know, just to do it.
Yeah.
So maybe you'll see a national record in the 800 for me.
Wait, do you know the Bahamian national record for 800?
No. I think I'll guess. I think it's like 150 something or one. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go for it.
Do it.
Maybe just one. I'm not gonna do two 800. Just one.
One and done.
That's it. Yeah. So I made him a deal. I said I'll do it.
Okay.
So that's what we're gonna do.
Uh-huh. What kind of preparations have you made going into 2020?
So I started training on Monday and just stay healthy and go on to the, when we change phases and go on to the track and just do what we have to do out there also.
And have you been to an Olympic Games before?
Yeah, 2016 was my first.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. How did you find the Olympic experience?
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I saw it on TV, but it's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also fun. It's a fun time also.
Yeah, and Shawnee obviously won that gold in that iconic race. Were you watching?
Yes, I was watching. I was at the village because I had to run the relay, so.
Oh, okay.
I watched it from the village.
Screaming at the TV?
Yeah, but it was an amazing race, and the replays, you know?
Yeah.
You can watch it all day.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. So, what are you most excited for?
My individual event,
yeah.
You know? Doha. And now we're going to go over to the Olympics and try to repeat the same thing, you know? That's the main goal, always the main goal, to be on the podium.
Do you ever think about times?
No, I don't chase times, you know? I just want to go there and just run, and I like to be shocked by the times, you know? I like to be surprised. So I just...
It's a nice thing. You just, like, smashed it, and then you just look at the clock and you just shook.
Correct. So I just want to go there and run a good race, a great race, and just let the time surprise me, you know?
Yeah.
Let me shock myself.
I like that. That's good. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much everything.
All right, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
That is the end of this episode of the World Athletics Podcast. But if you want more athletics action, you can follow us on all social media platforms at World Athletics. Also, make sure you've rated and reviewed our podcast and subscribe, because on the next episode, we have World Javelin Champion Anderson Peters.
We have like the strength throwers, like Andreas Hoffmann from Germany.
Yeah.
Big dude.
Yeah, really big dude.
Vedder, on the other hand, Vedder is like a mixture of both speed and strength. And then you have Thomas Roller, who's a technician.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a skinny guy, but he's like, his technique is crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have me, who is like kind of like in the middle of all of them, because I tried I took stuff from all of their technique to create mine.
And that's why he's the world champion.
Yeah.